good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Friday night on the Malloy program. Did you have a good week? You can't go any place in here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, including Atlanta, because of all the ice. We had half an inch of snow yesterday, which brought the city to a complete standstill. And near the airport today, 26-car pileup, because people down here just literally don't know how to drive on, half inch of snowpack, a little bit of ice on top. It's incredible. So hope things are going a little bit better where you live, right? Hey, I saw this just 5 minutes ago. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't know when this was released to mainstream media, but according to Reuters news agency, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez ordered two F-16 jets to intercept a U.S. military plane that twice violated Venezuelan airspace today. Have you heard anything about that? That's all I have. That's all. That's the way Reuters is, just a one-sentence report. I think it's, this thing with Venezuela is ongoing. Venezuela has lots of oil, and obviously it's ours. Just for some reason, Chavez thinks it's his because it's within the Venezuela's territorial borders. And, you know, that's crazy talk. Jesus Christ, just because it's within his borders. So it appears that the Obama administration is going to continue the policies of the Bush administration to provoke and excite and prod and probe into Venezuelan airspace. We have twice tried, the CIA tried to overthrow him, and in the past 6-7 years. So anyway, that's all I have. President Hugo Chavez orders two F-16s to intercept U.S. military plane that twice violated Venezuelan airspace on Friday. I have no love lost for Chavez. I don't know. Half the stuff I read about him says he's a great social reformer. The other half says he's a psychopath. I don't know. I just know that the poor bastard is sitting on top of American oil. And I'm sure the Obama administration will soon let him know whose oil that belongs to. In California, Arnold Schwarzenegger has proposed spending cuts that make last year's spending cuts in that state look like, well, what they were, just kind of a preamble to what's coming. He submitted a new state budget today to help close a crippling shortfall. That's the way it's reported, a crippling shortfall of $20 billion. And he warned that more cash shortages are coming. The stuff that's being cut in California is unbelievable. In this final budget, Schwarzenegger declared a fiscal emergency to add urgency to the state budget process. And if you remember last year, there was a legislative impasse that lasted over 100 days where nothing was funded in the state of California. California is just going to slide in the ocean, isn't it? Anyway, the new budget aims to close a $20 billion deficit over the next year and a half, and it relies mostly on spending cuts, which the governor called draconian. For example, under the cuts, more than 250,000 children will lose eligibility for health insurance. Well, sure, you know, why not? Why not? A sick child is an alert child, at least for a while, until the child dies. So 200,000 children lose eligibility for health insurance in California. Prisoner health care, service for immigrants, in-home care for the elderly, schools, state and state aid to local public transportation, all of it slashed. Schwarzenegger said, quote, excuse me, there's simply no conceivable way to avoid more cuts and more pain. End quote. $20 billion. So the kids are going to take it. The old people are going to take it. Prisoner health care, screw prisoners. Let them all die. Let them all get sick and die. Immigrants, Old people who rely on in-home health care, to hell with them. They should have provided for their old age, right? Schools? Hey, they're government schools. God damn it, throw them in the toilet. Let's have some private schools. Public transportation? What's that? Is that some Greenpeace nonsense? So it's $20 billion deficit. That's why he's doing this. At the same time, there's this story. The world's biggest investment banks are expected to pay out more than $65 billion in salaries and bonuses in the next 2 weeks. which, of course, reinforces the fact that business as usual on Wall Street. This is from The Guardian of the UK. Let me see here. The major U.S. players, you know who they are. Excuse me. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, places like that. The major U.S. players are scheduled to report their full year trading performance in the next 2 weeks. Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs will announce the results. Their bonus policies will be watched closely by their European rivals, particularly the Royal Bank of Scotland. Figures already published by the five highest profile U.S. banks reporting in the next 2 weeks show that they have already set aside $50 billion to pay their staff. I mean, it's insane. So in California, a quarter of a million school children, or children, doesn't say if they're school children, a quarter of a million children are going to lose any kind of health insurance, health care. That's gone. All the stuff that's being cut, while the capitalist pig bastards in on Wall Street are ready to pay themselves $50 billion in bonuses and salaries and so on and so forth. Now, you tell me, is that the way it should be? Huh? Hey, all you right-wing dung eaters, you tell me, you Republican thugs. Huh? Is that cool? Of course it is, until you lose your home or your child needs medical care that you can no longer afford, and then the governor of some state says, sorry, your kid has to die because we just don't have the money. Meanwhile, you're fully aware that on Wall Street, $50 billion is being set aside for these rapacious capitalist bastards to go have fun with. And what did they make? What did they produce? Come on. All you right-wingers are always talking about, well, you can't tax the rich. They're the ones who provide jobs. No, they don't. Are you out of your goddamn minds? What jobs? This money comes from shuffling and reshuffling and shuffling yet again. Leverage, debt, nonsense, moving stuff around. Nothing's being produced. But the rich keep getting richer and richer and richer. And the big players keep getting bigger and bigger. And the next time they fail, and they will fail within the next 2 years, then the American public will bail them out again. And another 200,000 kids will take it in the jaw. And then another 200,000. Until finally, there won't be any more kids to take it in the jaw. Right? It's just astonishing to me every time I see something. And people say, well, Malloy, is that why you're a socialist? You're goddamn right it's why I'm a socialist. You're absolutely right. Every single bank in this country should be nationalized tomorrow morning. Bring this to a halt. Jesus, God. Oh, well. Just thought you would want an idea of what the program is going to be like tonight. Last night when we were on the air, I had, with the sound down, I had the national championship game, number one Alabama, number two Texas. I hate everything in Alabama. The best thing that ever came out of Alabama, other than Joe Namath, is I-20. But I had to watch it because it's a national championship game, and I wanted to see Texas get beat. Alabama number one, Texas number two. So I had the monitor on last night, sound down. And during the breaks, when we did commercials, I would turn the sound up and get some of the play-by-play. The game ended, my program ended, with about 45 seconds left of playing time. Of course, it was a done deal already, but I went upstairs and turned on the TV in the kitchen just to listen to the end of the game play by play and some of the comments. And as you know, the, Texas, first string quarterback was out because he had injured his arm. And the second stringer was in, a guy who was just a freshman. It was really sad to see. Here he is in a national championship game, yada, yada, yada. Not that I pay a whole lot of attention to this. But what happened immediately after the game is what just set my teeth on edge at about 12:15 this morning. I'll share that with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh, Mike Malone.
Past the hour. So after the national championship college football game last night, I went up to upstairs to watch the end of it, last 45 seconds of it, and the post game bull hockey. That I love watching the sports reporters try to present news of a football game post game as though they're reporting on latest troop movements in Poland or something. Different strokes for different folks. That's how I get my kicks late at night, watching these guys. So anyway, one of the sports reporters, I don't remember if it was a man or woman, cornered the Texas quarterback. Doesn't matter what his name is. The guy that couldn't play because his arm got screwed up. And got him on the field and said, you know, this must have been very hard for you to sit on the sidelines, last game of your career, yada, yada, yada. And this guy, what was he, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old? I mean, a kid. And he says, he starts talking about how it was God's will. He said, you know, God owns me. I'm paraphrasing. God owns me. And if God wants to put me on the sidelines during the game, that's the way it is. God has a greater plan for this game. He just goes on. And I'm looking at him, and his eyes look hollow and vacant, like a Scientologist eyes or something. It's just astonishing. Here's this kid on national television who I guess in the opening part of the game, first quarter, whatever, was really whacked by one of the Alabama defensive players and spent the rest of the game on the sidelines, and he blames it all on God. On God rather than a Cracker Jack Alabama defense. It's God who reached down and pinched this son of a bitch's neck nerve or something so he couldn't throw. I mean, this is astonishing. Why do we have this kind of religious insanity in this country? My God. You know, what if this kid would have said, well, I got tackled, and in the middle of the tackle, a couple of fairies ran in and a leprechaun. And they pinched this nerve in my arm, and I can't throw. And so, but you know, the fairies and leprechauns, are, you know, they make these decisions. It's all in their hands. And, I'm a great believer in fairies and leprechauns and he would immediately have been hauled off the field and put in a straitjacket and taken away, right? But it's okay to ramble on about invisible, omnipotent cloud beings. What is this? This is the kind of stuff that is just massively insane. Here's this fully mind-melded kid, Texas quarterback, blaming his football injury not on a Class A ass kick and tackle from Alabama defense, but on God. God did it. It was God's will. We can talk about this madness. And everybody maintains a straight face. You know, the reporter interviewing this kid never said anything like, are you out of your goddamn mind? You know, nothing. Nothing. You didn't hear a thing. The reporter just standing there. And then back in the broadcast booth, the two anchors, sports anchors, the play-by-play and the color guy, they just, you know, nothing. They don't comment. Well, why didn't he say something about the head leprechaun or the head fairy or, oh, my God. Of course, these people, the word fairy has an entirely different meaning. But, I mean, it's astonishing. It's astonishing. So I'm watching this. And when Kathy came up after doing the end of show production that she does at night, I said, you're not going to believe this. And she said, no, I had it on downstairs. I heard it all. Ow, damn, don't do that. Was that God or a leprechaun? It's just incredible. Why does this happen in this country at this period in the evolution of mankind? I understand the state of Louisiana has got a plan to do away with teaching science, especially where it concerns that demon science of evolution. I ain't for no goddamn monkey. And start teaching creationism. And it's being pushed by these murderous psychopaths like James Dobson, Brother James Dobson. And these Christian right crazy organizations. What is this? You know, we're constantly talking about these sick psychopathic Muslims who try to blow up our jetliners. And here we are, these sick psychopathic Christians trying to blow up the minds of young people and doing a damn good job of it. A damn good job of it. I keep thinking about Carl Sagan's last book, The Demon-Haunted World, where science and curiosity and exploration and math and chemistry and biochemistry and space exploration and time travel and the universe is all being pushed aside so that we can continue to pretend that there are creatures jumping around up in the clouds going, I think I'll kill that one. I think I'll injure that quarterback's arm so he can't play tonight.
Freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car. Through my trials and tribulations and my travels through the nations, with my plastic Jesus I'll go far. Riding down the thoroughfare with a nose up in the air. A rig may be ahead, but we don't mind.
Loud, proud, progressive talk. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Irish Dave writes, Mike, don't you realize that Bama's Bear Bryant was God? He asked only three things from his flock. I want you to be as agile, mobile, and a little bit hostile. So it is patently obvious that it was God's will to get old Colt McCoy. Kind of like parting the waters of the Red Sea. No, wait. Crimson Tide. Oy vey. Run for the hills. Irish Dave. Bruce writes, how many children were blown into red mist while God was fixing the football game by taking out the quarterback? Did God beat the point spread? Cliff writes, I cannot believe that the reporters have not called the quarterback on God, but why didn't the reporter talking to Mayor Rudy yesterday call him on his lies about being not being attacked on Bush's watch? I may be naive, but I think this pretty much is the same thing. Once upon a time, athletics did not blame God for their playing. And once upon a time, the mainstream press would not allow the person being interviewed just to just say anything without any kind of a comeback. And Spock writes, well, that's what you get for watching sports. Right. I just thought it was, you know, it was like, oh my God, this kid actually believes that God decided to make sure that the number one ranked team won by disabling the number two ranked quarterback. What kind of madness is this? You know, we really are sinking under this wave of religious nonsense, aren't we? It's just getting worse and worse. And I think as the situation, the global situation gets worse, and it's going to continue to get worse, this Christian and Muslim fundamentalism is just going to go off the charts. Where's a good place to move to? Israel? Just kidding. They would never let me in there because, after all, I'm a huge anti-Semite, you know. But that, you know, that's just been bugging me all day. All day. Watching this kid last night who is so brainwashed into believing. Old Colt McCoy. Into believing that everything is up to God, even who plays on a football team. Oh, well. I don't know why that surprises me. CBS News Chief Investigative Correspondent Armin Katayan reports at CBS's website, British intelligence has confirmed perhaps the most chilling boast that underwear bomber Umar Abdulmutallab made to investigators after his arrest. You know what that is? As many as 20 other young Muslim men were being prepared in Yemen to use the same technique to blow up airliners. That's according to CBS News, Chief Investigative Correspondent Armin Katayan. CBS News National Security Analyst Juan Azarate said, quote, I think the fact we know that there are other operatives being trained by Al-Qaeda in Yemen is extremely troubling, and it is the most dangerous dimension to come out of the December 25th event, end quote. That's why sources say the U.S. government issued this directive last Sunday announcing, quote, enhanced screening, end quote, for every individual on U.S.-bound flights from 14 countries, including Afghanistan, Somalia, and Yemen. Okay, well, then what happens if somebody goes to, let's say, one of these Yemen Muslim bombers takes a flight from Riyadh to somewhere in Bolivia, and then flies from Bolivia to Chicago, Detroit, Miami, and rips open his underwear and blows everything up. This is madness, isn't it? In addition to all this, a team of FBI agents, according to CBS News, team of FBI agents is now on the ground in the West African nation of Ghana. They got there last Saturday, attempting to piece together Abdulmutallab's whereabouts and activities in the 2 weeks prior to the attempted attack on Flight 253. According to government officials, Abdulmutallab first arrived in the Ghana capital of Addis Ababa on December 9th after spending 5 months in Yemen. Yadda, 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 yadda. So there you go. Wouldn't it ease things a bit if we just got the hell out of all these Muslim countries? Is that complete madness? I know the right wingers in this country, these filthy, disgusting Republicans and their filthy, disgusting conservative allies, would say, no, man, hell no. We got to win one for the Gipper. We got to keep the ball. It's, third and long. We got to keep going. You know, everything's a sports metaphor to these freaks. But wouldn't it make wonderful sense if the United States government decided to pull our military out of every Muslim country where our military is currently involved and pull the CIA and pull out all the military contractors that are killing and maiming and destroying with abandon? Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of tit for tat if we pulled everybody out and then said, okay, Muslim bombers, we're gone. Now what? And then, of course, if they continued to bomb us, then to satisfy the right wing in this country, then we could go ahead and nuke them, right? Huh? Wouldn't that be easy? Just pew. Why don't we try that? Why don't we try a complete withdrawal from every Muslim country? It's not Jews who are trying to blow up American airliners. Right? It's not Hindus who are trying to blow up American airliners. It's not Baha'is or Buddhists or Seventh-day Adventists. Hell, it's not even Mormons. Who is it? Muslims? Okay. Well, then, why don't we get out of all of the... Isn't that the central demand? Get out of our countries. Why is that such a perverse idea? Boy, McCain is off his meds again, isn't he? Huh? During the 2008 campaign, McCain, on a couple of occasions, remember when he'd go to those little town hall meetings there'd always be some poor, sick white woman who would stand up, usually an old white woman, sometimes an old fat white man, always white, and they'd stand up and say, well, you know, Barack Obama's a Muslim, and he wasn't born here, and he's a terrorist. And remember that famous piece of video where McCain interrupts the one sick old white woman, says mentally sick, and says, no, that's not true. Remember that? He defended Obama from these psychopathic Republicans. That was then. This is now. In his first radio ad for his 2010 reelection campaign, McCain is, McCain says the following, quote, President Obama is leading an extreme left-wing crusade to bankrupt America. I stand in his way every day, end quote. In another ad, the narrator offers a variation on that theme. The narrator says, quote, John McCain is leading the fight against President Obama every day. He is Arizona's last line of defense, end quote. Last line of, you didn't know. Barack Obama is massing a whole bunch of bones in their noses Negroes to invade Arizona and kill all the white people. You didn't know that? Yeah, Arizona. Listen, Arizona, if you're listening tonight, if you're non-Native American and you're not Mexican, if you are really Caucasian, or, you know, a rough approximation of Caucasian, Barack Obama has got this horde of black-skinned devils who are going to come out to Arizona and kill all the whites, except for the fact that John McCain, if he's reelected, will press his magic boinger and all this will stop and Barack will be defeated. You didn't know that? Sure. President Obama is leading an extreme left-wing crusade to bankrupt America? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot times six? Are you kidding me? Barack Obama left-wing? But you see, once again, you know, the Republican Party and all of its verminy, filthy operatives understand how stupid Republican voters are. How absolutely stupid. So they say this over and over again, that he's a left-winger. When does McCain start saying, well, he wasn't even born in this country? Well, he shifts that big lump on the side of his face a little bit so he can talk. You know, when's he gonna say that? Here, let me move my succubus. Okay. These sick sons of bitches. I'm coming to you live from Armageddon. Don't need to be teaching no biology. You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to the slanderous lies. I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad, so listen.
Truth seekers, gather around the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, NBC Sports has up at their website something about Colt McCoy and Tebow, the guy on the other team. Apparently they both believe in God, and God favored Tebow the other night. And told McCoy, game's up. PH writes, regarding profiling Muslims, what about John Walker Lynn? It would be simple enough for terrorists to get around profiling if they have a Caucasian do it. Why the dumb arses think racial profiling will solve that, I don't know. It just opens up another weak spot and antagonizes non-radicalized Muslims that are American citizens. I've heard from one how it hurts his feelings. He was a college student who told me about that in a college cafeteria a couple of years back. As for the solution to terrorism being exceeded demands, I guess they're afraid to encourage other terrorists to blackmail us for crazier reasons. not that I agree in this instance, from PH. I don't see leaving somebody's country, inside of which we have no business being, is acceding to a demand. I really don't. You know, I've said it a million times to all the little right-wing worms out there. What would you do if some Muslim army showed up inside, I don't know, Kentucky, or landed in South Carolina and said they were there to bring rational, reasoned governance to the United States? What would you do, you right-wing idiots? Huh? What would you do? Well, it's the same thing with them, isn't it? So, you know, as far as PH is concerned here, his email, I just wouldn't I'm not referring to you as a right-wing idiot. I'm talking about the people whose phone calls I'm about to take. But exceeding to a demand, when the demand is get out of our country, you know, Bush exceeded to Osama bin Laden's demand, but it took the murder of 3,000 people on our soil before Bush got the message, if you want to believe the official story. Bin Laden had warned the United States several times, get your troops out of Saudi Arabia. And he had warned the Saudi royal family, too. Get them out. And we didn't. So according to the official story, bin Laden or his lieutenant or someone ordered an attack on the United States. The attack was, depending on how you define success, very successful. And immediately, well, within a few months afterwards, the Bush crime family closed U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia. You see how easy that was? So why not follow the Bush crime family example and get our prior to another vicious attack on the United States that we would deserve, just like if the Saudis landed an expeditionary force on the shores of New Jersey, what are we supposed to do? Would we not attack Saudi Arabia? Would we not blow up Saudi aircraft if we couldn't bomb them and nuke them? You see, we have a big nuclear arsenal. But you see, when you just twist the dial a little bit, just reverse things a little bit, all of a sudden, even to a brain-dead, stupid-ass Republican, it might make sense. We are in their countries. Their countries. Countries where they have their religious sites. They're not here. We are there. They haven't invaded us. We've invaded them. God damn it. Why is that so hard to get through American policymakers and the American public's thick skulls? We were not invaded by Muslims. They are not located in Washington, D.C., and Dallas, Texas, and Seattle, and Miami. We are located in their major cities and countryside. We are there killing their people with drone aircraft and bombs and white phosphorus and depleted uranium. We are butchering their children. They're not butchering ours unless we send ours fully armed into their country. Why is that difficult? God. Oh, well. I don't know why I'm yelling. It doesn't make any difference. What do we got here? All right, can we get a couple? Chad is in Tampa. Listening on Sirius. Hey, Chad.
Hey, good evening, Mike. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
Wonderful. Let me preface by saying that...
if you're wonderful, you must be employed, huh?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
Proudly employed.
Oh, great.
Let me preface by saying that I'm definitely a proud member of the Democratic Party, so I agree with probably 90% of your views.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a member of the Democratic Party.
No, I was saying that I am. But I said that I agree with a majority of your views.
Oh, okay.
So, majority of the time, I like what you're saying. I think it's on point. But. I was listening to the radio, and I was very inspired to call you about the comments you were making about the young football player Colt.
Yeah, Colt McCoy. What about it? What did I say that you found inspiring to call me? Let me before you tell me, and I'll hold you over the break in case you don't have time to get it all said. Do you honestly believe that God looked down on Colt McCoy and decided to disable him so that the other team could win? Do you really think that, Chad?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, that's what Colt McCoy thinks.
But
now wait. And if Colt McCoy thinks that, wouldn't it be equally fair for me to say there is no God, but there's this army of leprechauns that runs around disabling quarterbacks? Wouldn't that make the same amount of sense?
Yeah, I see your view on that.
Okay.
I see your view.
Okay.
But from my perspective and what I'm looking at, and I watched that, and, you know, and then I was getting ready to change the channel, and I was like, wait a minute. I mean, you know, here you have a young guy, and that's his view. You know, that's his freedom to express his view. And I understand your point where you're saying, you know,
Wait. Let me put you on hold, Chad, and pick it up when we come back, that you were listening like I was at the end of that game. And that's his right to express that view. Just hold it right there, and we'll come back and pick you up on the other side of the break here. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Provider and licensing.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We are talking with Chad in Tampa, who's listening on Sirius. All right. Now, Chad, you were offended about what I said about Colt McCoy?
Yeah, and let me just step back for a minute, because I want to really understand the details of your perspective and your point. So what was it about what he said about his belief in God? You know, is it from the political perspective or just the fact that that's what he believed and that's what upset you?
Probably all of it. In the first place, I think anyone who believes in God, small g, big g, whatever, are indulged in a kind of bondage to fantasy and nonsense, A. B. For this young man to be so indoctrinated, and all these football players, every time they score a touchdown, they point their finger up at heaven and thank, their Lord and Savior or their God or something, which to me is beyond ridiculous. What kind of a human mind can first of all conceive of a being that created everything, as vast as everything is, and then to reduce that entity down to the point where it's going to give a damn about who scores a touchdown? It's insanity. That's why I find it offensive. And I think about all the little boys around the country who are watching the national championship game or NFL, all these freaks in the NFL who they score a touchdown, they do a little jig, and then they point to God or whoever they're pointing to and act as though this incredibly powerful deity that they created and that in turn created the entire universe is somehow going to give a tinker's damn about who scores a touchdown. Now, if you don't find that offensive, then I feel sorry for you.
And then the scope of things, I don't think God really cared about the touchdown.
But that's the point. According to these midget minds, that's exactly what God's about. God's all about who scores the touchdown.
Or who wears
certain initials on their jersey.
I think his bigger point, Mike, is that you know, he was in a tough situation, and this is what happened.
Well, then what he needs to do is to have more complete training, and he should make sure that his offensive linesmen protect him from University of Alabama. Gaud didn't have anything to do with the tackle. The defensive coach, University of Alabama, had everything to do with it, wouldn't you say?
The valid point. But I think where, you know, what interests me is in how this filters into the political perspective, because again, this is a background conversation.
All right, the political perspective is simply that these religious nutcases have taken over the entire Republican Party, which is a good half of the political system here, and have influenced a hefty percentage of the Democratic Party. I don't want to live in a theocracy. And that's what they are trying to put in place in this country. Now, let's back up a second. Supposing Colt McCoy would have said, when he was asked these questions about how bad he felt about missing the game, supposing Colt McCoy would have said, well, first of all, I want to thank Allah for providing me an opportunity to praise his name.
Right, right.
Okay, well, what? What if he would have said that? What's your reaction?
No,
don't change my question. Just answer my question. What if Colt McCoy would have said, I want to, first of all, ma'am, I'd like to praise Allah. Blessed be his name.
First off, he probably would have been booed, but if that was his
But why? It's the same God.
No buts,
Chad. Don't do this. You're showing an intellectual slipperiness that always pisses me off. Allah, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, they're all the same. So, but you are first to admit, because you're the one I'm talking to, that he would have been booed. Why? It's the same God of Abraham, just a different name. You see what I'm saying? You just made my point.
I get your point.
Okay, Chad, I've got to move on. I'm sorry. I appreciate what you had to say. I got to go. Gary is calling from Caraway, Arkansas. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, listen, Mike, you're right about the football game. God didn't care about that game. And he didn't care. I mean, it wasn't his will that boy get hurt.
Now, when you say it wasn't his will, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about God.
Are you talking about Allah?
Well,
let me ask you the same question, Gary. What if Colt McCoy would have said to the young reporter girl who was interviewing him, listen, first, before you ask me any questions, I just want to praise, I want to thank Allah, praise be his name, for providing me a chance to watch my team get its butt kicked. Now you're a minister. What would you have done? What would you have thought if you would have seen that? Now be honest.
To be honest with you,
yeah.
I probably wouldn't have thought much about it.
Yes, you would have. You would have gone right out of your crawl space. You would have gone berserk. You would have called the University of Texas tomorrow and said, what in the hell are you producing down there? You know you would have. Come
on,
Gary.
You don't know me, Mike.
No, but I know how Christians think.
No.
Supposing he would have said, I want to thank Satan for providing me a chance to sit and watch this game.
Well, could I finish what I want to talk to you about?
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to call you and tell you that I agree with you about the Bush crime family. I agree with you that we need to get our, you know what, out of the Muslim countries. I listen to your show faithfully. I don't pay any attention to the right-wing kooks like James Dobson and those people. And I'm a loyal listener to the Mike Malloy show.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you also, and that you're right, I am a minister. And I agree with what you say about the ball. I don't think the boy ought to be saying, I think he's misguided by saying that. And I would not have brought God into that discussion.
Okay, well, what prompted you to make this phone call then?
Well, you paint all of us Christians with the same brush.
No, all religionists. I don't care what religion it is. I paint the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, that group especially. That's the group that is causing so much death and hell and destruction and anger and terror and fear and betrayal and blackmail on this planet. Those three religions.
What about me, Mike? I agree with you about all that.
Well, then, I don't know what about you. If you agree that Christians are causing all this death and destruction, I would think that you would probably get active with me and start telling people to stop the nonsense, stop believing this nonsense.
I do what I can.
Oh,
I'm
not talking about voting. I'm talking about reclaim. You know who Bill Maher is. He said,
I speak out.
He said, look, faith means making a virtue out of not thinking. It's nothing to brag about. And those who preach faith and enable and elevate it are intellectual slaveholders, keeping mankind in a bondage to fantasy and nonsense. That's Bill Maher. In his book, Religious, that's what he said. And where do you disagree with that?
I disagree with it, because you can't put everybody that claims to be a Christian in the same box.
Why not?
Just like you can't, all atheists aren't good people, and all atheists aren't bad people.
Oh, no, but that doesn't make any difference. All atheists do not believe in God. Otherwise, they wouldn't be an atheist.
Well, just because I believe in God, does that make me a bad person?
No, Gary, it makes you part of the problem, though. It does, because as long as people believe in the superstitious fantasy and nonsense, how does that promote solutions here on Earth in the here and now? And Gary, I have to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in. I'm glad you're a listener. I hope I didn't piss you off or anything, but I need to tell you, Gary, I cannot believe that rational people, thinking people, would actually make themselves a slave to this kind of nonsense. But I thank you for calling, Gary.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show on a Friday night, as you well know. I don't know if you saw the press briefing. I think it was it today, where Helen Thomas, 89-year-old former United Press International reporter, correspondent, until that organization was bought by the latest incarnation of Jesus, and that is the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. At least that's what he says he is. And Helen Thomas, at this press briefing, I think it was today, or maybe it was yesterday, when Janet Napolitano was out there. This guy Brennan, who is Brennan? The assistant national security director. excuse me. And Helen Thomas. Yeah, it was John Brennan. I guess he's the assistant. Whatever. Anyway, Helen Thomas sat there and she asked several times, "What is the motivation? Why did this latest guy, Abdulmutallab, decide to make an effort, if you believe the official story, to blow up a jetliner and kill 600 people in Detroit or over Detroit? Why?" And Helen Thomas, you know, kind of broke through the nonsense in that press briefing until she was interrupted by the CBS guy sitting to her left. But, you know, she asked, "What's the motivation?" She said, "We never hear what you find out on why these people are trying to blow up or hurt Americans. Brennan said, and I'm quoting here, Al-Qaeda is an organization that is dedicated to murder and wanton slaughter of innocents. They attract individuals like Mr. Abdulmutallab and use them for these types of attacks. He was motivated by a sense of religions, a religious sort of drive. Unfortunately, Al-Qaeda has perverted Islam and has corrupted the concept of Islam so that he's able to attract these individuals. But Al-Qaeda has the agenda of destruction and death. Helen Thomas says, oh, and you're saying it's because of religion. Brennan says, I'm saying it's because of an Al-Qaeda organization that uses the banner of religion in a very perverse and corrupt way. Helen Thomas says, why? Brennan says, I think this is a long issue, but Al-Qaeda is just determined to carry out attacks here against the homeland. Thomas, but you haven't explained why. And they never do. Now, if you go to consortiumnews.com, Ray McGovern has a piece about answering Helen Thomas on why. And it's essentially what we've been saying on this program for a long time. The arrogant attacks of the United States on so many different countries, so many people that we have murdered, killed, destabilized, overthrown. As a matter of fact, I got an email here from Cat Mary in Memphis. Where is it? All right, Cat Mary, where'd you put the damn email? Oh, here it is. She writes, we've had 7 years of useless war on Iraq and 9 years of useless war in Afghanistan, plus other wars, and never fully acknowledged counterinsurgency campaigns since the 9/11 inside job. And then she lists here, places we have attacked, are attacking, are increasing troops in, and or are arming and training since 2001. Are you ready? This is where we've been waging violence since 2001. Afghanistan, Albania, Bosnia, Bulgaria, Colombia, Djibouti, Georgia, Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Kosovo, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Macedonia, Mali, Pakistan, the Philippines, Poland, Romania, Somalia, Uganda, Uzbekistan, Venezuela, and Yemen. Djibouti hosts our so-called Africa Command base, which has areas of interest as follows: Djibouti, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Kenya, the Seychelles, I believe that's the way you pronounce it, the islands, Somalia, Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, and Yemen, the Comoros, Mauritius, and Madagascar. In short, Cat Mary writes, U.S. corporatists of the military finance complex will ensure that the U.S. terrorizes the world, which guarantees perpetual wars for death profiteering. Why doesn't the majority, why doesn't all, every American understand this? Why is it so hard to understand? Look what the British Empire had to go through before it finally resolved itself to falling back to its islands in the North Atlantic. Huh? Why does this have to... Why do Americans seem to be unable to understand that the death and hell that goes on against us is a direct result of the death and hell that we perpetrate against all these countries, the vast majority of which now, today, are Muslim? Why? And it also turns out that the underwear bomber, when he was questioned, he also said, well, one of the reasons was because he was trying to strike back because the U.S. supported Israel in its murder in Gaza. Well, why is this so hard for us to understand? Bees made honey. 26 before the hour. If you probably noticed, if you're on the website today, Kathy had put up there at MikeMolloy.com, we'd be giving away one podcast, free podcast subscription night. We're running out of the free ones. So normally on Friday night, we give away three of them, but tonight we're going to give away one. And that's the reason we didn't do it last hour. Do we have the music? Is it time to... Do you want to give it away now? What we'll do is see if anybody on hold wants to play pod. You don't want to do that? Okay, well, then we'll do it. We'll do it the next break. We'll do it the next break. All right? Back to your phone calls. Norman is in Indianapolis.
You know, Mike, I think you might have to change your model to partial truth stickers.
Yeah, why?
Well, you know, you were talking about the athlete that scores a touchdown and they point up to the sky. You think they'd be saying, God, thanks for the block, God. Thanks for opening up the way.
No, of course not. Before I put you on hold, don't try to out-talk me, because this is not the Norman show. It's the Mike Molloy show, so don't do that. I didn't say that at all. What I said was, when they point up to the sky and mutter something about God is going to make sure they got the touchdown, or God protected them, or God didn't bring the goalpost down, or whatever. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. What are they pointing to?
What they're doing is saying, thank you for blessing me, Lord, with my ability.
But they're pointing up to what? To what? Come on, Norman. What are they pointing at?
The only distinction that I'm trying to make to you, Mike.
No, what you're trying to do is justify gibberish. You're trying to justify to me a schizophrenic model. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to say, look, Mike, if I talk to God, it's called prayer. If God talks to me, of course, then they're going to come and lock me up. No, Norman, no. What if the quarterback, what if the football players would come onto the field, like I asked an earlier caller, what if they came onto the field with an armband that said, praise be to Allah? Would that be okay?
Have you ever heard of Mike Tyson?
All right. Goodbye. Have I ever heard of Mike Tyson? Jesus Christ. Abraham is on, in Jacksonville listening on XM. Hey, Abraham.
Hey, man, how you been?
You're not the Abraham, are you?
From Waycross.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm all right. What's up?
I'm a C-SPAN caller, like I told you, Brian, a while ago.
Yeah, okay.
You played that bit I did a couple of weeks ago with the doctor out there in Oklahoma. And I do that all the time. I call in one time as a Republican, one time as a independent, one time as a Democrat. I'm a real, actually, I'm a socialist. Atheist. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's all right with me.
But I've done that for years. Today I went on there and I got Michael Steele and I told him, I said, Michael, you know, Rachel Maddow wants you to come on her show. Mm-hmm. Now, you can really promote your book if you want to really get front page headlines in every paper. Go on there, jump on the table and teabag her and that will shut the house down. They went crazy. The host didn't know what, just like the girl when I asked the doctor to pray, you know, the host today butted right in. He said, let's don't have any more of that, you know. But I was just having fun with the guy, you know. Of course, it's pretty obvious he knows what teabagging means, you know, real teabagging.
Well, I don't know. Maybe because he went to some website that explained to him what it really was. But
I've got Newt Gingrich. The last time I got Newt Gingrich, I said, Newt, settle, I always come on and I say, let me make a statement and then ask one question. And that way, if you go too long, they'll say, what's the question? So I got a PhD in this. And at the same time, I asked, last time I had Newt, I said, please settle up argument with me, between me and a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Have you been married six times or just five, Newt?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And not just that, but how many of those wives did you cheat on is another one. Hey, thanks, Abraham. You know, Abraham brought up, you know, about Michael Steele, and of course he's all over the news now because Michael Steele, the head of the Republican National Committee, is being attacked by Republicans because of some of the comments Steele has made in the past few days about Republicans are not going to get a majority in the House and the Senate. Duh. But what we have to keep in mind, race plays a part in everything in this country. You surely understand that. The attacks on Obama are not because he's a liberal. He's not. Not because he's a Democrat. He's not. Not because of progressive. He's not. Obama is a politician who is now the president of the United States. He is what he is. But because the attacks are because he's a black man. That's why. Michael Steele also, the only reason Michael Steele wound up as the head of the RNC is because the RNC decided they had to out-Negro the Democratic Party. And that's why they got Michael Steele. Come on. If you disagree with this, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. And you don't understand the Republican Party is a nest of racists. That's all they are. The total racists. I don't give a damn how many times somebody like, what's his name? The guy from Utah, who's the oh man, another senior moment. The senator from Utah. I don't care how many times he talks about how he believes in racial equality. Hog snot. His church, up until a few years ago, saw black folk as subhuman. They weren't allowed to be priests. They weren't allowed to do this. They weren't allowed to do that. And nobody was busy baptizing dead Africans. So the entire Republican Party is based around, it coalesces around the idea of racism, second class status for women, if that, maybe third or fourth class status for women, homophobia, they hate gay folk, the organizing principle of the organizing principles of the Republican Party are all based on hatred and bigotry. Prejudice, racism, that's who they are. So when they put Michael Steele as the head of the RNC, that was to out-Negro the Democratic Party, who now had an African-American as president of the United States. So what are you going to do? How are you going to top that? Well, you can't. But it really called into a full frontal relief the racism of the Republican Party. So how did they respond? Oh, quick, find us a black man! So they found Michael Steele. Well, Michael Steele will play that game for a while, which is what he has been doing. But now all of a sudden he's starting to feel the lash. You see? He's starting to feel the lash of the white folks who run the party. Michael Steele made a mistake. Michael Steele spoke the truth. Republican Party is based in lies and nonsense. And Michael Steele is now feeling the lash. The field manager is trying to get Michael Steele back on the plantation. Crack! What you say, boy? We know what the Republican Party is about. So I'm just watching this with kind of, weird amusement to see how much longer Michael Steele is going to be treated as a house Negro. I'm just curious to see how long he's going to do it before he says to these white fools that put him in office, kiss my black ass, and walks off. I just wonder how much longer, because Michael Steele dare not speak the truth. He can get out there and shuck and jive as much as he wants to, and that's what they hired him to do. But once he starts speaking the truth, no, wait just a minute, bro, nah. That's not why we hired you. We hired you because the Democrats were out-Negroing us, and we can't do that. We can't let that happen. Don't kid yourself, Republican Party. Good God. Racists, homophobes, women haters. You don't agree? Oh, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. We need to take a break here. All right, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back. Anybody wants to play trivia? Okay. Oh, Daniel in Los Angeles. Okay, we'll get to Daniel when we come back. Poor Michael Steele. But see, you know, you knew that, right, Truth Seeker? You knew that. You knew why Michael Steele was made the head of the Republican Party. I just about fell out when Michael Steele was named head of the Republican Party. Like, oh yeah, okay, sure. They're gonna find an African American man and make him the head of the RNC. And why are they doing that? Because they respect black folks, right? Yeah.
Under my control. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Everybody's got the voice inside your head. That's like when God answers your prayer, right? Please, God, make me rich. All right. I think it's time. It is time! Once again, for podcast trivia on the Malloy program, where you can win a free one-year subscription to podcast downloads. Commercial free. Not that there's anything wrong with commercials, for God's sake. All right, let's see who's our first victim. Daniel is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah.
All right, now, why do you want a podcast subscription? Are you a secret right winger, and you just want to be able to break into our website? And
no, I'm a Democrat.
You're a Democrat.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. As you know, the right wing has been attacking Obama. The latest is he waited 3 days before he said anything officially about the underwear bomber, right?
Yeah.
All right, here's your question. How many days did it take for George W. Bush to respond publicly to Richard Reid, the so-called shoe bomber? Was it A, 2, B, 4, C, 6, or D, 8?
I'm going to go with 6.
6, that would be C. Well, that's absolutely right. Way to go, Daniel! All right, calm the audience down. That's good. All right, Daniel, hold on. Congratulations. Kathy will get the information, and you'll have a free one-year subscription to The Malloy Show. Hold on just a second. What? Open your mic. I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm sorry. Somehow my talkback button has decided to act up on me tonight. He has something else to say to you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Daniel, our winner, has some comments to make on the air, Mike.
Oh, God.
In addition to winning a fabulous prize.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I've been listening to you and talking about God being a fairy tale belief and that sort of thing. I'm a philosophy minor at USC right now, and a lot of my philosophy professors are really intelligent and theists and believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reconcile the idea that smart people with PhDs that are masters in the field also believe in a deity?
I guess it would be cognitive dissonance or fear. I think they – I don't know what fields they have their PhDs in, if it's philosophy.
Theory of knowledge.
It's what?
epistemology and theory of knowledge.
Okay, well, those are fairly safe areas. If they had a PhD in anthropology
and teaching epistemology as well. Yeah.
Yeah. If they had a PhD in paleontology or a PhD in any of the hard sciences and still believed in a deity, I would question their sanity, frankly, because if you believe in the Western model of God, which is the God of Abraham, which gave birth to first Judaism, then Christianity, and then Islam, if you believe in that model, then you must accept the religious insistence that creation and everything in it is no more than 6 or 7,000 years old.
Now, no, you don't.
Of course, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. That's what the Bible. That's what the Bible says.
But there's a lot of different understandings of how the Bible works, and like.
No, wait, Daniel, hold on a second. Here's what I'm going to give you an assignment. In addition to winning a podcast subscription, here's what I need you to do: go to any religious figure, priest, rabbi, imam, ask them the age of the universe. And then call me back, and they will tell you it's six or.
I'm part of the Nazarene Christian Church, and the Nazarene Christian Church actually teaches evolution in its schools.
And it teaches evolution in what way?
In the way science portrays it.
In the same way that anthropologists teach it. Okay, well then the Nazarene Church is not a Christian church. It's not a church that follows the dictates of the Bible. What book do you all consider to be your holy book?
Well, you can. There's a lot of different forms of writing. You don't have to necessarily take things literally.
If you say that to a Protestant Christian, if you say that to a Christian, that you can't take the Bible literally, you are immediately seen as an apostate or a fool or someone who's not really a Christian.
No, there's actually a lot of different Protestant denominations that don't necessarily take the Bible literally in every book.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, Daniel, let me put you on hold, and Kathy will get the information and give you the podcast. As far as your philosophy, your professor or the PhDs that you know who are in these fields of study that have nothing to do with the applied sciences, who believe in a deity, I'm not saying that people don't have a right to do that. If they want to limit their existence to believing in cloud beings, if you want to do that, go ahead. I have friends who believe in fairies and leprechauns. Okay. I'm just saying that when your country's domestic and foreign policy is heavily influenced by religious nonsense, then your society is in deep trouble. And I'll tell you what, take a look at history if you have any doubt about that. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. Americans United for Separation of Church and State has sent out a press release. That is AU.org, AU.org on the web. The press release says a new policy under consideration by the Louisiana Board of Elementary and Secondary Education is slanted to favor creationism and should be revised. Due to lobbying by the religious right, Louisiana legislators approved a law in 2008 that allows for so-called supplemental materials to be used in public school science classes. The Louisiana Board has developed a policy for reviewing these materials that is seriously flawed. Barry Lynn, Reverend Barry Lynn, Executive Director of Americans United, said, quote, "It's obvious what's going on here. Louisiana elected officials are once again trying to undercut the teaching of evolution and slip creationism into science classes. This effort must fail," end quote. The board calls for the Louisiana Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, the board, calls for allowing challenged materials to be reviewed by a panel that could easily be stacked with people sympathetic to creationism. It would bypass the expert opinion of the Louisiana Department of Education. The press release from Americans United said, quote, "The proposed procedure for reviewing challenged supplemental material, that is creationism garbage, is unnecessarily complicated and appears designed to provide a forum for promoting creationism. The Louisiana Family Forum, a state affiliate of religious right leader James Dobson's focus on the family, pushed for adoption of the new law and will likely use it to smuggle creationist material into public schools," and so on and so on. It's a never-ending struggle. I don't know what these religious bigots really want, other than the one thing that their avatar of God completely warned against, and that is the accumulation of power or the search for power. You know, people like Dobson are exactly like Osama bin Laden. They, can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if Muslims invaded this country and occupied our holy places like the Alamo, or Wrigley Field, or Texas Stadium, you know, the really religious spots in the United States? Can you imagine what would happen? People like James Dobson would be trying to find young Christian males who would martyr themselves by getting on board, Pakistan Airways jet, let's say, and detonating a bomb over Pakistani airspace. It's just craziness. It's just madness. If James Dobson wants to pray until beads of blood break out on his forehead, he certainly has a right to do that. Just like Osama bin Laden has a right to go into whatever cave or mosque or any place he wants to go and, you know, bow as many times as he likes to his God. But when they start murdering and killing and invading countries and changing school textbooks in order to satisfy these religious beliefs, isn't it time that normal people said no? You know, if you want to believe in the deity of a chair, go ahead. If you think the radio is some kind of a circuit board that is run by God, and when you hear voices on the radio, it's really the angels conversing, go ahead. Do it. If that's your thing, do it. But don't expect other people to die for that madness. Don't expect other people to teach their children about the God chair. I mean, come on. Why is that not acceptable? And why, if a football player were to write on his jersey an abbreviation that said, "Praise Allah, blessed be his name," how long do you think that player would be on a field before people would start throwing things at him. Huh? Remember, Muhammad Ali, or as white folks insist, Cassius Clay. What happened to Muhammad Ali when he came out and said, look, I'm a Muslim, and I don't believe in going to Vietnam and killing brown people. What happened? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what happened? His title was stripped from him. Supposing Muhammad Ali would have come out and said, I am a Christian. I do not believe in going to Vietnam and killing people. Do you think Muhammad Ali would have suffered through what he suffered through? Come on now. Be honest. Come on. Come on. You can do it, you little right-wing freak. Come on. The imposition of deism in any form on the country, the society, our school system, our means of trying to educate ourselves about science, about the age of the universe, about anything, is religious fascism. What else would you call it? What else would you call it? What do you call it? You know, American Christians are so quick to condemn Arab Muslims for whatever act of so-called terror that it is perceived that Arab Muslims or Muslims anywhere are perpetrating against American Christians or British Christians or whatever. And yet, again, they do not occupy our, if we're going to put it in these terms, country. They haven't invaded Alabama. They haven't set up a ruling military council in Utah. They are not launching attacks against Detroit from Windsor. It's madness. And yet these Christian religious morons in this country shake their crosses, rattle their swords, and talk about, I mean, look at Ann Coulter. Is there a sicker son of a bitch on earth than Ann Coulter? What was it she said, that we should invade their countries and convert them all to Christianity? Kill their leaders first. You know, this is the kind of woman who is waiting for the rapture so that she can make a beeline to Israel and start lopping off the heads of Jews. And it never stops. And we're supposed to dignify this madness by saying, well, come on, Mike, it's a free country. Yeah, okay, it's a free country. If you want to believe this garbage, believe it. But don't you see... Don't you see the poison that it injects into society after society after society? I don't care what the religious fervor, it doesn't make any difference. I don't care what the religion is. It is, its one goal is to control, to dominate, to influence, and to threaten. Believe this or your ass is dead. Believe this or you will burn in hell for all eternity. Believe this or you are condemned. Believe this or I will cut your head off. Man. All right, we have a break coming here. And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls. The number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. All right? Stay with us.
Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want to be just like my president. I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky.
new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
Liberal helping of truth, it's More Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Mark is in Athens, Georgia, listening on XM. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike. First-time caller, a long-time listener. I love your show.
Well, thanks.
I wanted to talk to you. I'm a tattoo artist, like you say, here in Athens, Georgia. And I'd like you to look at kind of the religious situation more of as a, think of it as branding. I tattoo people weekly, and I mean almost daily with religious symbols and whatever mysticism that is that it presents to them. And I tell you, then you know, people come in and they'll ask for, you know, a classic praying hands with a rosary and whatever. I'm like, oh, so you're Catholic? And they're like, no. People they just don't get it. And I'll ask, you know, are you highly religious? Do you go to church every Sunday? And they're like, no. And it's just like, I'd say it's just the same as wearing a shirt from, say, Banana Republic or The Gap or wherever, and it has the logo emblazoned all over the front of it when all you really wanted was a shirt. They're just buying into the basic thought of nothing.
Well, why do you think people do that?
Well, man, I sit and listen to you to debate with these people who are just adamant in their belief, you know, when you have fact and they have faith, and it's hard to have a debate with rational points with people who just don't understand rational thought. And I've tried to talk to these people too, and I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, I was raised as a Roman Catholic in the South, and you know, if you know anything about the Roman Catholic faith, you know that it's all built on the argument of free will and transubstantiation is, I guess, the only thing that separates Catholics from Protestants. And
there's some other points that separate Protestants and Catholics. You know, the intercessionary prayer, where, you know, you can pray to a whole pantheon of saints, and of course, let's not forget the Virgin Mary. To you know, whereas Protestants don't believe that.
Absolutely. I just find it ridiculous that I'm here in this college town where people are supposed to be educated, and probably the better educated in our state, and they're just mind-numbingly just to have a conversation with these people and get to know them for an hour like I get to. To me, it blows my mind. You sit with these people and they're actually getting something emblazoned on their skin for the rest of their life, and not based on any actual fact, just faith. And that's fine, but you know, you're in an institution of higher learning. You should be possessed of an intellect that allows you to run through the rational thought processes that are, you know, this can be this and the other can't. I mean, in my opinion, the best thing that Christianity, or any religion for that matter, has done for humanity is present art in a time when mystery was mystery before science. And that's, you know, that's just my two bits as an artist, and that's all I see from it. But I don't know, but you were talking about in Florida that they've got that they're doing the creationism, and right here in Georgia, at Cobb County, they've still teach creationism, and they've done it for several years now.
Well, that what you're talking about was ruled out of there by a court, and what they had was a sticker that went inside science textbooks that said evolution is nothing but a theory, and has equal value to other theories like creationism, but they're not really teaching creationism over here in Cobb County. I don't live that far from Cobb County.
Right.
Trust me on that one. And it's not Florida, it's Louisiana that I was talking about earlier tonight.
Oh, that's right.
But most southern states have, you're absolutely right, most southern states have made an effort to replace natural selection with this creationist nonsense. And I think to myself, what the religious people are trying to do, the religious people who are trying to do that, they're trying to push this whole planet back into the Middle Ages, or into, not Middle Ages, but Dark Ages, like Carl Sagan or somebody said, I think it was Sagan, if religion would not have exerted as much power in the Dark Ages as it did, we would already be, you know, colonizing other planets.
Exactly.
But look what happened to Galileo. I mean, you know, people who come up with science are immediately, then and now, they're threatened. They're told, well, you're not going to do that. Now, back when the church had the kind of absolute power that it no longer has, Galileo was forced to recant science. How do you do that? How do you make somebody say 2 and 2 is not 4? That's like O'Brien in 1984. That's what the church is like. It's like O'Brien.
Well, it's very similar to the way that they treat global warming in today's process.
Right. Same thing.
Exactly the same thing.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the call.
Hey, Mr. Malloy, if you ever need a tattoo, come see me.
I'll do it. Thank you very much. You take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Ben is in Buena Park, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Ben.
Hey, thank you very much. Let me switch phones out here.
Okay.
I'm surprised. with all your analytic dissection, I'm thinking that everybody's missing something here. You know, it's like, is there too much religiosa? What was Bill Maher's movie? Religious. Yeah, is there too much religiousness for you?
I just find it maddening. I really don't care what people do on their own time. Just, you know, why do I have to be exposed to some 20-year-old talking about how God helped him get a touchdown or something? Or especially the ones who invoke God before they go kill some other people. Mark Twain's a war prayer is, do a Google on that. Twain wrote this thing. I read it on the air several weeks back. Twain was a non-deist also. And if you read the war prayer once more, it just puts into clear relief what this religious nonsense can do.
I've always liked that prayer.
Right.
But listen, even that, you would easily miss the point. There's a bigger point here. You know, everybody holds something sacred. They hold something glorious and something powerful.
I don't think you should say that. I mean,
don't you hold something sacred?
Sacred? How do you define sacred? What do you mean?
Sacred is whatever is important to you.
No, that's not true. No, that's not true. Sacred has a definite religious connotation to it.
Well,
do I respect things? Do I love things?
Okay.
Am I glad that I'm exposed to certain things? Sure. You know, my child, my wife, but that has nothing to do with being sacred. It has nothing to do with being supernatural. It has nothing to do with whether or not I'm a good, bad, or indifferent person.
Then let's use your framework. You say there's things that you hold dearly, I think, right?
Yeah.
And there's things that you hold as true, right?
Yeah.
So do others.
What's your point? I mean, you make it sound like you just gave me...
The point is there, is it your mission?
No, wait, you make it sound as though you just gave me some big mystifying answer, some answer deeply rooted in some profound philosophy. What's your point?
Mike, am I still here?
I don't know, are you?
Yes, I am. I wanted to point out that you're very influential, and you command a lot of authority. I don't know.
Well, that's not true either. No,
what?
No, it's not. Anyone who looks to me for authority is a fool.
I didn't say that. I said.
All right. Well, listen. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you, Ben. Let's get back to the religion thing. What is the point you're trying to make to me?
The point is that. What more does this man have to do, this boy have to, this football player have to do?
To do what?
To demonstrate humility to you.
He doesn't have to demonstrate anything to me. He's a goddamn football player. I don't care if he worships a chair. I don't care if he goes home after a football game and burns cats. I don't give a goddamn what he does, Ben. All I'm saying is when I watch a national championship game and I see some 20-year-old who got injured and out of the game talk about how it's God's will, I want to throw up my beer. That's all. Now stop it. Stop saying things to me like, what does this boy have to do? He doesn't have to do diddly squat. If he wants to worship lampshades, go ahead! But keep it the hell off of television. What is this? Jesus said not to do that. Jesus said, if you want to talk about my Father, do it in the privacy of your own closet. Now, I don't know what your point was, Ben. But don't call me up and harass me like that. First of all, you say I have influence. Anybody who looks to this program for any kind of influence or power tripping on my part is a freak and a fool. But they do it inadvertently or directly. This is a stupid ass radio program. All the right wingers now are going, yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, you pissed me off, Ben.
But Mike.
Oh, yes.
Who would Jesus tackle? That's the wristband I want to see. I'm still trying to get over the rapper that say, God bless my song. He blessed my song. The pimp song. You know,
it's hard out here for a pimp.
The hustle and flow theme
song.
Yeah,
when he won an Academy Award. And thanks God.
For the pimp song.
For the pimp song. Or thanks Jesus. Didn't even thank God. Thank Jesus. You know, we were watching that. I just about fell off the bed. You know, like, you're going to thank Jesus for inspiring you to write the pimp song.
But get
out of town, you freaks.
But you just don't understand what's sacred.
Yeah, I know. Sacred. This is an email from Cliff. Mike, one of my favorite lines. The Dark Ages, when religion ruled the world. I was raised in the Jewish faith, and I have yet to hear any Jew claim the world was only 5,000 years old. I admit I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. Maybe that is the explanation. I was raised in the conservative and reform movement. Maybe the Orthodox movement would be different. Just a thought, Cliff. I don't know whether a Jew would claim or not claim that the world is 5,000 years old. But if you... If you take the strict, inerrant interpretation of what the Christians call the Old Testament and use whatever counting system they used, you will find that these three religions of Abraham believe that the everything is 6,000 or 7,000 years old. I don't know if Muslims or Jews walk around talking about it, but... Come on. Come on, y'all. You know what the Abrahamic religions say. If you don't, then go find out. But do a Google, on Abrahamic religions or what, however the hell you say it. I don't know, but whatever. Soul Train is calling from South Jersey.
Yeah, good evening, Mike. Hi, I'm a longtime listener, and I'm a podcast subscriber, and I'm glad you letting me address you this evening. I am an American Muslim.
Wait a minute, I called you Soul Train. I misread what it said here. Sultan. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kathy tried to spell your name phonetically for me, and I had my glasses off, and I looked up at the screen. I thought it was Soul Train. I'm sorry, man. No, Sultan. All right, Sultan. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, what Muslims believe, their story is different. We don't believe the universe is 6,000 years. We don't teach that. Quran does not teach that. The Quran teaches actually an evolution model. They said that the universe was in one mass, and the Creator broke it apart, and he created everything from water, and everything evolved. So this Islamic actually teaches evolution. It teaches that everything comes from the essence of water, and then it evolves into its form, into perfection.
The essence of water?
Yeah, it believes that all life was created out of water. That is taught in the Quran. It teaches the Big Bang Theory. If you go to Surah 36, which is Surah Yasin, you'll see that the Quran describes Allah has created everything out of one mass. He broke it apart, which he describes as the Big Bang Theorem. And then he says, then he created everything from water, and it evolved. The Islamic actually teaching does not put a time period to as far as what, how long human beings or the world has been into existence. We don't believe in the 6,000-year model.
Yeah.
Everything is created. The Quran doesn't give a time period, but it's an evolution model. It's not a model that you will come to conclusion from a Christianity point of view. That's not the Muslim's belief. That's not the Islamic belief.
So even though the Quran mentions Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jesus, are you saying to me that it only selectively mentions these people and their history? Is it true that Abraham is the father of your religion?
That's correct. Abraham is the father of the religion.
I don't disagree with you there. But Abraham is also the father of Judaism, right?
That's correct. I accept he's the father of all three religions.
Right.
I said the difference.
Well, isn't it possible, if not fairly easy, if you are an Abrahamic scholar, to figure out when he lived? And if Abraham, is Abraham not a son of Noah, so to speak? Was Noah not the first man?
No, Adam was the first man.
My bad. I meant, was Adam not the first man? Was Adam not created at a certain time? Is that time not easily figured by counting backward through the generations? I mean, okay, Sultan, I hear you. I accept what you said. We'll be back.
Prepare the call up to the priest. I think it is pale blue Japanese. The priest said, God wants goodness, God wants light. God wants mayhem, God wants clean things.
10 before the hour. Well, this has been a fun night. To everybody that I've pissed off because of your religious beliefs, all I can say is tough, you know, really. And I'm getting an abundance of emails from people telling me that I'm wrong. The Bible doesn't say that the universe is 6,000 years old. It doesn't say that literally, but I mean, there is no line in Genesis that says 6,000 years ago everything was created. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and it took about 7 days. And I realize that that is not, you know, to some people that is literal because the Bible is inerrant and it cannot be tampered with, kind of like the works of Shakespeare. You know, you can't tamper with it. But the bottom line for me is I think the whole religious arc is just craziness. I really do. If that offends you, it offends you. Your belief system offends me. But as long as you believe it and want to live it, okay. In the privacy of your own life, whose business is it? It's none of my business. The only reason these issues ever come up for me is because this religious nonsense is imposed on U.S. foreign policy, on U.S. domestic policy. It's imposed on us in on our money. It's imposed on us in the another crazy thing about this, a pledge to a flag rather than a pledge to justice or a pledge to honesty or a pledge to truthfulness. No, I pledge allegiance to the flag. You know, what kind of horse garbage is that? And then the line added, one nation under God, says who? I mean... never mind. So if you've been offended tonight, like I say, too bad. And I mean that sincerely, too bad. I get offended, as I said, when I realize that the necessity that politicians find, God bless America and God bless the, you know, God bless you and God, you know, what presidents, who started that? It wasn't Jimmy Carter, was it? The only evangelical president we've ever had? Who started that? Was it Reagan? Who never went to a church in his life? I don't know how this madness began, but I find it really, truly, absolutely offensive. The Christian faith that is a proselytizing faith, the Islamic faith that is also proselytizing in a very serious, well, Christianity too. Jews will accept converts, but they certainly don't seek them. I'm just tired of it. That's all. I'm tired of the incursions into science. I'm tired of the religious incursions into science. You know, mysticism and jive turkey nonsense into definitions about the beginnings of life. Every one of these Abrahamic religions on its fundamentalist level treats women as if they were demons from hell. They are demons from hell. They loosed all the bad stuff on the human race. I mean, it's madness. What the hell is wrong with you people, huh? Why not Adam, the bad guy? Adam was the one who caused all this hell so that every time Adam had sex for the rest of his life, it would hurt him. You know, we are to believe, and all three religions teach this, don't they? That's because woman was so evil and loosed evilness on the earth that every 28 days when she has her period or every time she gives birth is going to be an absolute pain. Bitch, take that. Come on. Please stop. Please stop. You really believe there was a flood in the whole earth? Oh, God. You really believe that Moses went whoop in the Red Sea part? You do believe that, don't you? And Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, and then he had sex with his daughters. And I mean, come on. Come on. Why do you believe that stuff? On the other hand, if you do believe it, fine, believe it. But just could you please keep it out of the public square? Could you please? I mean, I have a great time celebrating Christmas. I have a great time occasionally, excuse me, occasionally celebrating Passover. You know, with friends, Christmas with friends, Passover with friends. I see it as cultural stuff. Although the Christian thing to me is more like winter solstice. I mean, come on, let's be real. The Easter thing is more like the spring equinox. I find all these religious holidays, most of which were stolen from some other source, I find them interesting, intriguing. They can be fun. They're light, most of them, full of light and hugs and kisses and gift giving especially Easter. We're all supposed to, you know, hop around like a bunch of little bunnies and procreate. Nothing wrong with that. But does it have to be so bloody? Does it have to result in so many deaths over so many centuries? So much hatred, so much distrust, so much, look at the Crusades, look at the Inquisition, all of it, you know? And you want me to, I don't know what you want me to do. You don't want me to do anything. It's none of your business what I do. But the religionists want everybody to accept their brand of this nonsense or be condemned. You know, I guess that's the part that pisses me off the most, that the Christians would tell you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, which is very clearly, if you don't accept what I believe, your ass is going to hell for all eternity. They don't just kill your body. They try to kill you for all eternity. Go away. Go away. Be gone. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.